This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. The next segment we have for you here is part two of the full exchange in court today with Alex Murdaugh and his own defense team before breaking to lunch. It is for you in its entirety. Take a listen.
Alex, you've talked about going to Paul's body and Maggie's body. Do you recall getting blood on you, on your hands, or any part of you?
Yes.
Do you know whose blood you would have gotten on you?
I know I got blood on my fingertips.
Can you differentiate, you know, whether it was Maggie or Paul?
It's probably both. Except with so much blood. But
there turns out there was a drop of blood on the steering wheel of the Suburban. Do you know how that got there?
I mean, if it was fresh, I put it there. If it was not fresh, I mean, Maggie drove my car all the time, but I assume it got there from me touching Maggie and then touching the steering wheel that night.
And then I think maybe there's possibly blood on this gun, maybe not. I mean, do you know if you got transferred blood on anything else that night?
If Maggie's blood's on that gun, then I put it there. Maggie didn't really fool with guns other than to put them up.
Did you submit to a GSR examination that night?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier, and that Brian Barnado testified about.
Where your hands were swabbed?
That's right.
And then your clothes were collected by, I don't know if it's Agent Owen or someone else?
That's correct.
And turns out there's some GSR on your shirt and on your shorts. And did you handle this gun?
Yes.
This is item 22 that...
Yes, I basically had that gun with me until I put it up against my car. When the police officer, I think it was Mr. Green, got there. I put it against my car.
And I think Nolan had testified that this is, you know, one of the shotguns Paul liked to use.
It is.
Was he meticulous about cleaning his guns?
Papa?
Yeah.
No. Now, when he cleaned it, he was meticulous about it, but it was far and few between when he actually cleaned them.
Your shirt went through testing and analysis, and you were part of this case, provided results of that, were you not?
Yes, sir. I mean, I wasn't providing at the time. I've seen them.
Right.
Seen all these records.
Just let me ask you, did you get on your shirt high velocity blood spatter from being within a distance of a shooting Maggie or Paul?
There's no way that I had high velocity blood spatter on me.
Had you seen reports that said that at one point in time?
I have seen reports that said that.
Just to be clear, were you anywhere in the vicinity when Paul and Maggie were shot?
I was nowhere near Paul and Maggie when they got shot.
After Sled collected your clothing that night at the main residence at Moselle, you remember changing in? Remember what you changed into?
Do I remember?
Yeah.
I know I changed clothes, and I've learned since then what I had on, but I don't.
You don't remember? Okay.
I don't remember that at all. But I understand I had on athletic shorts and a T-shirt.
Sure. And other people have talked about this. So I'm not going to repeat it, but where did you spend the night, or where did you go to after leaving Moselle when you left for the evening?
We went to Alameda. We went to my mom and dad's house, and we stayed there.
And who went with you?
I believe that Bus and Brooklyn and I rode together. John Marvin might have been with us. I know John Marvin stayed at Alameda with us. I just don't know if he rode in the same car we rode in. But I know I rode with Buster and Brooklyn. I know that for a fact.
And the next morning, what'd you do? And we're talking about daylight hours on June the 8th. What did you do?
We basically got up and came back to Moselle.
Do you remember roughly what time you got to Moselle?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember what time. There's things I remember about that morning, but I don't remember exactly what time we left.
And Alec, we'll get to this in more detail, but during that period of time, is it hard to remember times, what time things started and stopped, and how long things took?
I mean, it's definitely hard to remember. Now, looking at these timelines and all these records, I mean, it sure helps, but to just do it off the top of my head is very difficult.
And we'll get to more of that. When you went back to Moselle on the morning of June the 8th, did you know whether you took a shower there or took a shower at Alameda or took a shower at all?
No, I know we took a shower at Moselle. I did not take a shower before I left Alameda. We basically got up and went to Moselle. Maggie's mom and dad.
They were there?
Well, they were coming. Tell them, see them. We got up from Alameda and we left and we went to Moselle.
And you And do you know, do you even recall Sled coming in and searching the house for anything on the 8th?
I knew that, I mean, I knew they were doing it, yeah. I knew they were doing it. But I don't remember. I wasn't out in that gun room and see all that video and all that. But I knew Sled was coming in there. We made the house available for them to come in there. So I mean, I can't tell you details, but yeah, I remember it.
Did you at one point just tell Sled they had carte blanche to search anywhere, anytime?
I told Sled they could do anything, anywhere, anytime that they wanted to. Anything to do with me, my property, my cars. Even though I didn't own the cars, I would get my law firm owned the cars. I would have the people. They had full, whatever they wanted, they were welcome to.
And did you have any discussions with David Owen or anybody at Sled about consenting to General Motors to get that off the car?
Every time that I talked to David Owens, I would ask him about getting OnStar data and GPS data from phones.
And why was it important to you to get OnStar data and GPS data from the phone?
To confirm where I was saying I went, what I did, GPS. You know, at that point in time, I knew that Maggie's phone had been taken, and I knew that my Suburban and my phone and Maggie's phone never crossed paths, and that was extremely important to me. And I asked him about it every single time we talked, every single time.
And speaking of Maggie's phone, did you know her password to her phone?
Yes, I knew her password.
Did you know her password to her computer?
Yes.
Did she know your password?
Yes.
Okay. And when Maggie's phone was located on the side of the road, did you provide Sled the password to her phone?
I did. I think I actually provided it to John Marvin, who provided it to Sled, but I'm the one who gave it to him.
Right. And your knowledge that Maggie's have these location services on her phone. She used them frequently.
All the time. One of Maggie's things that she liked to do was there's an app called Find My Friends that you can see what other people are doing and they can see what you're doing. Maggie loved me, Bus, Pawpaw, Brooklyn, Grandma, Papa T, Marion, the three girls, Lizzie. And there were a few others, but the people that were closest to her, she had them all in her phone, and she loved to look at that phone and see where people are, and she'd love to surprise you. Like, let's say you're at Walmart, she looks on there, and she'd love to text you, get me a TV from Walmart or something, you know, like, she'd follow you and see where you were. She used it all the time. And so, you know, I just knew that there would be GPS data on Maggie's phone.
Alec, when you're being interviewed on the night of June 7th and again on June the 10th, what was your understanding as to why they were interviewing you? Why were you being interviewed?
On June the 7th and June the 10th?
Yes, sir.
What's the question again?
What is his understanding of why Sled was interviewing him on the night of June the 7th and again on June the 10th?
And the basis for the objection?
401 and 402, Your Honor.
What do you mean?
Relevance, Your Honor. His understanding is not important. What he said is important, Your Honor.
Response.
Well, I can... It goes to his... You know, his... Follow, it goes to his state of mind. I mean, that's what it goes to.
Objection sustained.
Did, why was it important to you to be able to get data from the Suburban, data from your phone, and data from Maggie's phone?
I knew at that point in time, I knew since I was the person who found Paw Paw and Mags that I was a suspect. I mean, they kept talking about this circle, but I mean, I knew that. It was very important for me to find that, to get that.
And what was your belief as to that information? What would it have done for you?
There's no question in there that it would demonstrate that I couldn't have done this.
When was the data from General Motors off that Suburban finally obtained?
It was either this past Saturday or the Saturday before that, according to what was said in this courtroom.
During this trial?
Absolutely.
And to your knowledge, was GPS data ever able to be located off Maggie's phone?
Not just to my knowledge, it was not able to be gotten. You know, the testimony was in here that it couldn't be gotten. It only went back to June the 9th. Everything before that was erased on Maggie's phone.
Now, when starting June the 8th, when that Moselle, did a lot of people come to support you, be with you? On June the 8th.
On June the 8th?
Yes,
sir. Like the next day?
Right.
Yes, sir. A lot of people.
And you mentioned your Maggie's parents and family came as well?
Yes, sir.
From that moment, June 8th, when folks, family, came and to... Moselle, and you met with them. Were you left alone by any of your family members the rest of that week?
No. I mean, I was attached to Buster. At the hip. But, I mean...
What happened on June the 10th? Besides being interviewed by Celeste?
My dad died. My dad passed.
Well, and where did you stay and with whom did you stay on the night of June the 8th, the night of June the 9th, the night of June the 10th?
On the night of June the... You asked me to start on the 8th?
The 8th, yes, sir.
All right. Starting on the 8th, I stayed with Buster every night. I stayed with Buster, and as long as Brooklyn was there, I stayed with Buster in Brooklyn. But we stayed with... I'm pretty sure that's beginning on the 8th. I know the 7th we stayed at Alameda, and I believe on the 8th we started staying at John Marvin and Lizzie's. At Greenfield.
And how far is Greenfield from Alameda?
As the crow flies, I mean, it's no distance. It's less than 5 minutes. It's probably a few minutes away.
And who stayed there? Did John Marvin and his wife Liz stay there as well?
Yes, John and Lizzie. John and Lizzie stayed there and their kids. bus in Brooklyn, and I know Bubba and Maymay stayed there. Well, Lizzie's mom and daddy stayed there. And my daddy's best friend and his wife came in there. I believe they came before my daddy passed. I know they came after he passed and stayed there.
And that, how many nights do you recall staying there at Greenfield?
So I stayed at Greenfield. The 7th was a Monday. I stayed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Greenfield. I know that for a fact.
And the Maggie and Paul's funeral was Saturday? Is that right?
No, I heard that in this courtroom say it was Saturday. But
so the memorial services?
Nah, their funeral was on Friday.
It was on Friday.
I know that for a fact, too.
And then your father's funeral was on Sunday?
My father's funeral was on Sunday. And it was my father's funeral. I forget the term. Sunday. I mean, that's when we put Papa and Mags. That's when we buried him. We didn't bury him when we had the service on Friday. So I don't think they were done. But that's when we buried them, along with my dad, on Sunday.
And Alec, what did you do with the following week, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Starting when now?
So the day after your dad's funeral.
All right, Monday. I went to Grandma and Papa T's, Somerville.
At some point, Monday.
In the afternoon. You mean what did I do when I got up that morning?
Where did you stay?
We stayed at Greenfield Sunday night. So we woke up at Greenfield on Monday.
So. And Sunday night, you were with the same family members, your brother, and Brooklyn, and Buster. And
that's right.
Okay. And Liz.
And Lizzie, and Lizzie's mom and dad. And I believe Donnie and Paula were still there, but I can't remember when they left.
And then you went to Somerville with whom?
I believe I went to Somerville by myself, but I know Buster in the car by myself. I can't remember if Buster and I rode together, but I think we might have had separate cars. We probably did ride together that first day. I don't remember. But I know I went to Somerville, and Buster was in Somerville with me, with Grandma and Papa T.
And Somerville is where Maggie's parents live?
That's right. That's Maggie's mom and dad. Maggie's mom is Grandma, and Maggie's dad's Papa T.
And did you stay with them for a few days in Somerville?
I stayed with them longer. In Somerville, yeah, I stayed with them. We stayed in Somerville Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then we went to Greenville.
Okay. And what was in Greenville?
My niece. That was she was having a baby, and Maggie had just been so excited. So she's just so proud of those girls. She was so excited about the baby. And so the baby being born just came such a big deal to me.
So The baby born?
Yeah.
Okay. And you went out?
Yeah, baby born. Beautiful little baby girl. Beautiful little mom.
And then did you go up to the lake after that?
We did. Well, I mean, we stayed at this lake. Kiwi that y'all heard about is really close to Greenville. And so when I say we went to Greenville, we really went to Lake Kiwi. But we went up there because, you know, and when she had the baby, I want to say the baby might have gotten born shortly after we got there, like Thursday, but I think it was Saturday before we could go and see them and see my niece and see the baby. So, you know, I mean, that's where we went, was to Lake Kiwi. But they live in Greenville.
On the morning of June 16th, I think that was that Wednesday. I think that's a Wednesday. Where'd you wake up?
Somerville.
Did you ever go to Alameda on that day?
On Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe so.
Did you go to Alameda at 6:30 in the morning on the?
I know for a fact that I didn't go to Alameda at 6:30 in the morning. I was in Somerville. I didn't go to Alameda at any point early in the morning. I was in Somerville, and I'm not positive about this, but I know some of those records they have. It was sometime before I left Somerville. Okay.
Did you did you ever take during that week, let's just start with that week following your dad's funeral, did you ever take a tarp into the house at Alameda? A tarp, a blue tarp.
The week following my dad's funeral?
Yes, sir.
No, I did not.
There's been, I don't know where it is in any of these boxes, but this blue rain jacket. Have you ever seen that before?
Never seen it before. Never touched it. Don't know anything about it.
Did you, did you ever remember taking a tarp at any point in time over the house of Elmina?
No, I don't remember it. I don't remember taking a tarp over there. But, you know, I mean, Shelly's got something in her mind about that. And there may have been some point, but I certainly don't remember it. And it certainly wasn't any time around my dad's funeral or the weeks following.
I think we talked briefly about your recollection of times, and I just want to play Doug from State's Exhibit 517, which is the August 11th interview, starting at 5:52. If you could pull that clip up, and I want you to listen to this.
Okay. Tell me again what it is.
It's August 11th interview, starting at 5:52.
All right.
Can you go to 5:52?
Who was at your house when you left? What time did you go to your office?
We have been.
Who was at your house when you left? And what time did you go to the office?
We had been to a ball game that weekend. I don't remember exactly what time it would have been. Somewhere between 8:30 and 9:30, probably. Okay. 10 o'clock, maybe, okay, at the latest.
Okay.
Something like that.
Al, on this tape, were you being asked when you went to work on the 7th?
Yes.
And you said 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning?
And then I think it said 10 o'clock at the latest.
Is that correct?
No, it wasn't.
Now I've seen all these records. What does it look like? What time you went to work on the 7th?
A little afternoon.
All right. If we'll go to the Doug States Exhibit 243, which is the June 10 interview.
You know, Mr. Griffin, on that same date, though, I also, if you play that thing, I don't know if it's right then, but if you play that further, I also told him the best way to see exactly when I went in that door is to go and get my information from my law firm. And I told them that there, you know, we have a, you know how things are electronic now, where you don't have a key, you have a key card. And you have a key card in your wallet. And so when you use it, it creates a, like all this other stuff, a digital footprint. And I told David Owens that he could go get it from my office.
And was that a common response of yours when you were asked about specific times, that you would give them, you know, your best estimate, but you would point them to where they could find the most accurate data?
Yes, sir.
You did that more than once?
Yes, sir.
So if we've got the June 10th interview, which is States Exhibit 243, and Doug, I'd like to go to 9 minutes and 59 seconds. And here you're being asked, when did Paul arrive at Moselle?
Roughly what time in the afternoon?
You know, I would think it'd be somewhere in the 5 o'clock range, a little bit. It was broad daylight when we were, it wasn't dusk, dark, or late.
Okay.
You know, and we rode, we just rode around. We rode around.
So did you tell him on June 10th that Paul got there at 5 o'clock time period?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I obviously did.
And was that incorrect?
Yes, sir. It was incorrect.
And what time did you, looking at the records now, what time did it look like Paul actually got there?
And looking at the records, it's clear that he got there sometime around 7 o'clock.
Did at some point in time you have a conversation with Shelly Smith about, you know, how long you were over at Alameda on the night of June the 7th? Do you remember?
You know, I don't distinctly remember having a conversation with her about how long I was over there, but I know that I told Shelly Smith that Sled was going to come and talk to her and that I'd appreciate it if she would talk to them and that she just needed to tell them the truth.
And did you take extra care not to talk to people that you knew Sled would be talking to?
Absolutely.
And why is that?
After this boat wreck that you've heard so much talk about in this courtroom, there were social media, newspaper. It went deeper than that, but I mean, there was so much talk about how I, you know, fixed witnesses and structured the investigation, just things that were totally false, that were absolutely baseless, but it was said repeatedly, and it was reported repeatedly how I'd done this and with this witness and influenced this police officer and all these things. So I wasn't taking any chances.
I want to ask you about, you can take that down, Doug. Thank you. Ask you about the August 11th interview with David Owen at the SLED office in I think here in Walterboro. Do you remember that?
August 11th, absolutely.
Had you requested that meeting?
I've been requesting. What I'd really been requesting is some information. I've been begging David Owens to come meet with me and specifically I wanted Grandma, Papa T. There were so many questions that I couldn't answer. And I've been begging him to meet with me and to meet with Grandma and Papa T. I've been begging him for weeks and weeks.
And did, when you went into the meeting on August 11th, did you think that's what it was for, to give you an update?
Yes.
And at the conclusion of the meeting, they let you know that you're their prime suspect.
Yes, Your Honor. Not what was said.
Mr. Griffin?
I'll rephrase it. By the conclusion of the meeting, did they make it known to you that you were suspect?
Oh, there's no question about that. Absolutely. Now, he used a lot of, I mean, you hear it talk about how I'm in this circle and he can't get me out and this and that, but there's no doubt in my mind. There was no question in my mind what was going on.
And the, during that meeting, did they show you the Snapchat video of you trying to stand up the fruit tree?
Yes.
And were you questioned about what clothing you were wearing?
And I can't remember this. I can't remember if he showed me the whole video or he showed me a picture of it. But I was definitely showed that information. I was definitely shown those clothes in that meeting on August the 11th.
And what clothes were you wearing?
The same ones you see in.
And do you remember what kind of pants?
It was khaki pants.
And what kind of shirt?
It's a button-down, short-sleeve button-down. I call it a dress shirt, but a short-sleeve button-down dress shirt.
Like shirt you got there, but just short-sleeve?
Just like this, but short-sleeve, and it was colored.
And what color was it?
Blue. Blue with some blue stripes.
And were you questioned about when you changed out of those clothes?
I was.
And did you have a follow-up? Did you have a conversation after that meeting with Sled with Blanca about what you were wearing that day?
Absolutely.
And what was the purpose of the conversation with Blanca?
Well, they made an issue about that in that meeting, and I asked Blanca about those clothes that I had on earlier that day.
Did you ask her specifically about the blue shirt?
I asked her specifically about all the clothes.
Okay.
What I asked Blanca about specifically was, did she remember getting my clothes after she came back, when she came back to Moselle, did she remember getting my clothes? Is specifically what I asked her.
I see. And why were you asking her those questions?
Because on August the 11th, they had made an issue about me still wearing those clothes, not having changed clothes when I was in that Snapchat video. So that's why I went to Blanca.
Did they ever ask you on August the 11th whether, they ask you for those clothes? Can you produce the clothes? Did they ask you that?
No, they didn't.
Have they ever asked you for those clothes?
No. As far as my understanding goes, my clothes were never an issue in this case until y'all figured out, as my lawyers figured out, that there was no blood spatter on me.
Sir?
Is that objection, Your Honor?
Reasonable objection.
401, 402, and beyond in speculation.
Mr. Griffin.
It's a matter of public record. It's a matter of public record.
What is?
The issues with the shirt and the blood test.
It's a matter of public record.
Filed in this case, yes, sir.
The objection is overruled.
I'm well aware that my clothes never became an issue in this case until my lawyers proved that this blood spatter that they said I had on my shirt from my wife and my son was a lie, and that there was no blood on my shirt. And once they filed the documents and they proved that that was a lie, all of a sudden, the clothes I was wearing back on that day became an issue. And that's in the weeks leading up to this trial.
Now, Alec, after the Maggie and Paul were murdered on June 7th and 8th, where did you stay and where did you keep clothes?
All right. Say that again, please.
Where were you staying overnight? Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever spend another night at Moselle after June 7th?
I never spent another night at Moselle.
Why not?
Could've. Didn't want to.
Okay. Where were you staying? Well, we talked about the days and weeks, the week afterwards, but where were you staying when you got back from the lake, Kiwi and Greenville?
I stayed. All right, so when I got back from Greenville, so
yes,
that would be the... All right, so the first week, I've been doing my dad's funeral then. All right, so that'd be the second week. All right, so after we, I know Bus and I stayed with Grandma and Papa T as much as I could. I stayed with, I stayed with my brother Randy a lot. I stayed with my brother John a lot. Bus and I stayed at Edisto a little bit. But at the beginning, I really stayed with either my brother Randy and his wife Christy, or I stayed with my brother John and his wife Lizzie. And basically, at that time, Buster worked for Wild Wing at that time, and they had been so kind to him and gave him, they let him be off just for a ridiculous amount of time. They were so good to him. So he stayed with me. When he had to go back to work, he would stay at my brother John and Lizzie's because it was close. So I would stay with Randy and Christy in Hampton. When Buster was there, I would almost always go to John and Lizzie's when Buster was there. I would go to John and Lizzie's sometimes when Buster wasn't there. But I was, Johnny Parker, one of my partners, had a guest house. His mother-in-law had lived in when she was sick. That's really, it's right at the foot of Randy's drive. It's 100 yards, 70 yards from Randy's house. And I was going to move into that house until we figured out where I could live. So I had clothes there. I had clothes at Randy's. I had clothes at John Marvin's. I had clothes at Chichesse, which is, I think you heard Buster talk about Chichester's, like where we went to the river, and I had clothes there. I had clothes in Somerville. And I still had clothes at Moselle.
So your clothes... Yes, sir.
Last question.
No, this... So you, were your clothes spread out? A lot of the different places?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
We'll break for lunch and return at... in an hour and 15 minutes.
That's what we have for you right now. Keep it here so you don't miss any breaking updates on the discussions and the courtroom coverage that we're following for you all the time here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock US-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.